the whole Bob's Big Boy thing is I mean, I love drive-in restaurants, and I wrote a book on drive-in restaurants. But what's happening at Bob's Big Boy is a bunch of old white guys who have a lot of money now, who can kind of relive their past. And for me, that's a little disturbing.
That's Jim Hyman, an urban historian. 30 years ago, he published a book of photographs called California Crazy. He was one of the first to chronicle LA's unique roadside architecture. He took me out for a ride to look at some of the high points.
There's so much of this architecture that we take for granted that is really based on the automobile, but you really don't think too much about it.
Now, you've grown up here, and so it is, I guess, asking you, do you like to drive is like asking a fish, do you like to swim? But do you?
You know, I love driving. It's the one thing that if I was, you know, if I had to cut back on my, you know, my spending, the last thing would be gasoline. I mean, you have to drive in L.A. You don't really have an option. So you either embrace it or you don't. And
there's a giant donut.
Yes, we're at Randy's Donuts, one of the three last giant donuts that's still around. And, of course, it's a drive-up, so you see no one's out of their car. There's three cars lined up to get their donut in front of this massive donut that sits on a little square shed with a little over.
It's about a 15-foot diameter donut. You can see this icon from the road as you zip by, and you'll get it.
Yeah.
Like that, right?
Well, that was the intent of this, the you know, California crazy programmatic architecture. You know, it was all addressing the automobile. The only really global city that was developed around the car. If you look at all the other world capitals and major cities in the United States, they were all developed around some other mode of transportation. But in the case of Los Angeles...
Right, it and the car were sort of invented at the same moment.
Exactly. Also, you have to look at the fact that you had a lot of materials here.
Right.
I know, just you know, from my own experience, my father used to go to the salvage shops at these aeronautic plants.
And all these people accustomed to riveting and
doing things
messing around with
hands.
Engines and doing stuff with your hands. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think prior to the war, you know, it was a matter of an economic thing. My uncles would, you know, they would strip down cars. You know, they'd find old junkers and put the parts together and do stuff because they couldn't afford a brand new car. So you had a whole bunch of guys who were in their, you know, early 20s who were out in their garages putting the stuff together. And then they formed clubs and they knew other guys. And then pretty soon they're taking runs out to the desert and, you know, they're hopping around town with their hot rods.
So that modifying culture, all those pieces of that, the people who sort of pimp out their car the way they want and in various styles in the hot rod culture and all of it, it's an interesting kind of DIY, you know, designed by non-designer culture that I don't know if it exists to the extent that it does here anywhere else.
Yeah. And so now you've got, you know, the whole lowrider phenomena that becomes, you know, prevalent in the 50s and into the 60s and so on.
Really? The lowrider was from the 50s?
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. The fact that, you know, most of their cars were lowered as opposed to, you know, high suggested kind of a sinister look. And I think, you know, automobiles were, again, an affordable way to express yourself.
Right.
And it was less about racing and more about posing and posture. So that became a source of pride, that if you spent that much money and that much time on your car, then that became an extension of yourself and your culture.